Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life. Joining me, the Doctor of Redemption, Dr. Sherry Keffer. How are you doing?
Hey. It's great to be here, Steve. Love it.
She has written a book on intimate betrayal.
Intimate deception. It's about betrayal.
And, yeah, but the title is Intimate Deception. I apologize for that. Intimate Deception. And any intimate deception is betrayal. Because, you know, we've said here, if you're married and the other person doesn't know what you're doing, that's deception. That's betrayal. And Chris Williams, the person that I believe least deceptive of all of our other radio hosts. Thank you, Chris, for being with us. And we've got callers. Now we did a couple of shows before this, and we've got a couple people that have been holding. I want to get right to their calls, and so we're going to go to John first, and then we'll go to Jeanette after that. But John's from Atlanta. He listens to WNIV. John, how you doing? Thanks for holding on.
I am wonderful. Thank you all so much. I appreciate you all so much. Just so you know.
Well, thank you for that. How can we help you today?
Yeah. So my question point blank is, how do you manage when you have a spouse that has a different view of communication than you do? And I'm talking verbal, talking, you know, just sharing type of communication. And I can give you background if you like.
All right. Well, now, if she's verbal, what are you?
I'm verbal.
You're verbal.
I'm verbal. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. So she's like more reserved and just.
She's much more reserved. You know, if I express that I think something's not right, you know, she doesn't want to talk about it. You know, she almost to a point of just, you know, wanting to, it's fine, everything, I don't want to talk about it. Or if it's something that we are having an issue about, she'll totally just, if it's on the phone, hang up on me, you know. Or, you know, if it's a situation where, you know, where it's just, she just says, I don't want any negativity. I don't want any, I don't want to hear anything negative. I just, you know, and so, you know, literally, we had a discussion this morning. I travel, and so I'm on the road a lot. And, you know, I like to touch bases. I like to touch bases at least, you know, if not one time a day, in the morning or at night. And so, you know, she's extremely, you know, some days she'll respond and she'll send a message back or she'll call back. Other days, like yesterday, you know, she will not do anything. And then I'll call late and then she'll pick up. She's like, hi, how's it going? And I'm like, what do you mean? Haven't you seen my text? I mean, I called. You know, yeah, well, I have this to do and that to do. And, you know, and I get that. I definitely do. But, you know, I need to have some communication. And even if it's a, hey, I got your text, you know, I'm busy or something, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, I got to tell you, probably a million women listening wish they had a husband like you, you know? Because usually it's the other way around. I'm going to let Sherry start us off on this when we come back from this break, John. I'm glad you held on, and we'll get right to this. Listening to New Life Live, and, you know, all of us have a style. And usually it's not the same style as the person we married. And God uses that, if we'll let Him, to grow our character and our endurance. And so maybe we'll have some insight here from Sherry to start and then Chris. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call if you need some help.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, your phone calls. John's on the line, different communication style than his wife. And Sherry, I've asked you to kick this off and give us some insight here.
Hey, John. So,
hey,
yeah, we all hear you and we all hear what you're longing for, which really is respect. A respectful response is what you're looking for, and some security. Connection, right? But I want you to float back with me for a second. I want you to float back. And okay. I don't know if this started in your marriage to your wife now, or if it was possible that you also might have grown up in a family where one of your parents didn't connect with you. They would kind of they were busy or maybe not available at all.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you taking me there. My parents were phenomenal. I mean, my dad, was my Boy Scout leader, so my mom was always there. So, I never had any issues with my parents.
Okay, you're the oldest, and they were attached well. Did you have anyone before you met your bride who disconnected from you?
I mean, as I think about it, I never thought back that far. But I will say with her, I noticed, we've been together 23 years. So we've been married 23 years.
I get it. It's a long time.
Upon dating, I would call her and she may not answer, but I think, it's a home phone or it's her dorm phone, so she might be out of the room. Well, cell phones are here now, and she has one in her lap. So it's like, okay, so I noticed little things then, but after so many years now, I think it's just gotten to the point where I've just kind of held it in, and now I'm so frustrated.
Well, okay,
but Sherry, I don't want to stop on this thing about his parents, because you talked about a parent that disconnected. But, over the years, I just see Satan using the good stuff and the bad stuff. And so I'm just wondering, sometimes you get so used to having a wonderful, loving parent that does connect.
Yeah.
Then you get married and you can't reproduce that. And so now you feel disappointed because you're not being able to reproduce that. And maybe it's that your parents were so connected, nobody could meet that standard. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Nobody's perfect. My parents were not perfect as far as communication. I mean, my dad, I had a very strong father, but I know I hear you all talking about alcoholic children. My dad did drink. Mm-hmm. So, there were moments that affected us, not necessarily positively with him. But, there was never a time where he wasn't compassionate. And if I came to him, he always opened up, and he always made himself available, what during the times where I needed, I reached out for him.
So have you ever, have you ever thought that the wounds you felt from a disconnected dad when he was drinking might have been in some weird way what attracted you to your wife?
Might be.
Because sometimes these areas, these wounds of our past, when they've not been healed, they're still kind of, this abscess there.
Mm-hmm.
Her disconnect from you, because you'd felt it with your dad, we might move towards a person in a way of trying to unconsciously repair this thing that went awry in our childhood. And so you might have become her hero. You might have even in your heart said, okay, I see these things, but you know what? I'm going to do what I did to my dad. I'm going to just talk to her about it, and she's going to change the channel, and she's going to reconnect with me. But that hasn't happened because she's got a wound that's deeper. She's got some fear, some disconnect, some patterns. And so when she doesn't perform, connect like you like her to, she feels your disapproval, and that sends her further away from you instead of feeling more connected. She's kind of a dove in a cleft of a rock, right? And in the book How We Love, we would probably maybe see her more from an attachment model, more as an avoidant. And usually avoidants get there because they've grown up in families that are quite the opposite. In light, it wasn't safe to bring your heart. It wasn't safe to be vulnerable. It wasn't safe to share your opinion because you were put down or disregarded or told you someone was wrong with you. And so we find a crack in a stone somewhere, and we just get in there, and that's where we feel safe. She might feel safe when she's not engaging, but it's not healthy for you two together.
No.
But do you see how her pulling away can trigger you? It can trigger that feeling you had with your dad.
Yes, I appreciate that.
And that makes us want to demand connection rather than dig deeper into her wound to say, yeah, honey, what are you afraid of? What are you?
Is that how I need to approach this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's because I react, and I'm more so like, we're supposed to be married. Communication is a non-negotiable in marriage. And, and I'm almost like I'm teaching her I shouldn't go there.
What you're telling her is the truth, but do you see how you're correcting her? You're talking down to her, right? You need to, this is what you need to be doing, which I imagine that replicates something in her past. Instead of drawing her out, honey, what is going on? I long to hear your heart. I don't understand why you are my dove in the cleft of that rock.
I'm going to use that terminology.
Well, you do that, and you own it. Yeah. Don't tell her it's mine. You can own that. I gave you permission, right?
But the other thing you got to look at is when Sherry asked about your dad, and you talked about the compassion being there, then you went on to explain that he was a drinker, an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Just can't just sweep that under the rug. You'd be the only boy that ever came out of an alcoholic home unfazed. And so there's a connection there, I have to assume. And one other thing, if every time you want to check in with her, it's a 15-minute check-in, and then she doesn't have 15 minutes, then she may, she may just because she doesn't have the time. And so you really do, I talk about, here's how you make a horrible marriage work. You start to adapt your behavior to the other person rather than get angry at them. You start to maybe adjust some things. You accommodate some of their things. Those kinds of serving things, very different than demanding things. They really are. And then final piece of truth here. Whenever you talk with her, if you stay in that story up in your head about her never being enough, never being there for you, you won't ever really connect with her heart. You'll just be giving her the current events of your day or the headlines of your heart. And what you want to do right. is connect with her. So hope something we've said is helpful. I'm going to send you How We Love. I think that's going to help you in the connection process. It has helped many, many people. So you hang on. We'll get that to you. I'm really glad that you called. And just as promised, going to jump right over here to Jeanette. Thanks for holding, Jeanette. How you doing?
I'm doing really good, and I feel like I am talking to a rock star. I've been listening to you guys for 16 years. This is awesome.
Well, thank you for saying that. Anyway, glad that you held on and wondering how we could help today.
Oh, well, okay. I'm 52 years old. I wrote this down so I don't cry. 45 years ago, I was sexually abused by my dad. And last month, he was in a car accident. He's homeless. And because of it, his leg was amputated and the other leg was crushed. While he was in the hospital, I did confront him about the abuse finally. And after denying it and then minimizing it, he finally admitted to the abuse. So now he tells me he wants to have a relationship with me. And he just jumped right into when he gets out of the hospital, he wants to live with me. So my question is, as a Christian, do I let him figure it out and go back to the streets? Because I don't believe he has repented. I don't believe him. I don't trust him. And I'm angry. And as a Christian, I feel guilty because I am.
Well, you know what? A man's words in a desperate situation wouldn't be an indication of a change of character, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't have any evidence that you need to respond to him by having him live in your home other than words out of his mouth. You need time to see. Okay. If you don't take him in, does he reject you? Does he go back to denying? I mean, I'll see what Chris and Sherry say. They may think differently, but I think a desperate man who's been abusive and denied it until maybe he figured out, oh, it'd be better if I didn't deny it, I could go stay there. I don't know. Chris, let's start with you. What do you think?
Oh, Jeanette, you have some unfinished business.
He's at the root of all my pain, and my whole life has spiraled out of control because of it. My issues with my husband, I mean, it just goes on and on. It's too deep. I know he's the root. I've been a Christian for 25 years, but it seems like now that my life is calming down, God is putting this in my way, and I want to love my dad, but I'm so angry with him, and I feel like he's going to use me, and I don't trust him at all.
Jeanette, that abuse is still deeply inside of you. That pain feels as real today as it was 45 years ago.
It sure does.
Yeah. I'm just flabbergasted by how you have lived your life carrying around that pain. I think right now I am not concerned, and this is not to be uncompassionate towards your dad in a situation, but for you, I'm not concerned of whether he stays with you or not, other than the fact that you don't have any responsibility to that. I am very concerned that you're still carrying around this pain.
And that means a lot to me. I've been really struggling in my mind because as much as I want to be the daughter that I was never able to be and I want to be to him, because I do truly love my dad, I hate him and I'm angry with him because even when I finally got the courage to tell him, he told me, that's not true. I didn't do that. And he hung up on me.
Absolutely.
And I called him back. I said, don't you dare hang up on me. And then when I finally went to the hospital to give him all his stuff, because I got all the stuff out of his van, he tried to talk to me. I said, I have nothing to say to you until you admit it. And then he called me a week later and pretty much minimized it and said, well, all dads, they cuddle with their daughters like that. And I was just
wanting
to cry because
absolutely.
How dare you minimize it?
So,
you know?
Jeanette, you can't. What is happening is that when you're in contact with your dad, you are re-traumatizing that little girl all over again.
Yeah.
every single time. So let me answer the question. Does he live with you? No. He does not.
Okay.
You cannot heal.
Well, he's so phenomenal. I'm gonna end up in the street. No. I have nowhere to go.
I know, but unfortunately, his decisions have led him there in some way. And I know he's in a helpless situation. And maybe you look at other resources available. But he doesn't live with you because you need to get into counseling. You need to get into doing the trauma work so that you can detach and decrease that pain inside of you that you've been carrying around all of these years.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I just needed that validation because I know as a Christian, I'm pretty solid on what's happening and what's going on.
Well, let me say this. As a dear child of the beloved Father and Creator of the universe, He desires your wholeness. He desires your goodness. He desires your healing. He just needs you to partner with that and desire it like He desires it.
I'm glad you called. Got a couple more thoughts for you, if you can hold on. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. We care about you just like we care about Jeanette.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Talking to Jeanette here. Jeanette, are you still on?
Yeah.
Jeanette, I want to be sure that you don't feel an obligation with your dad. And let me tell you about a man came to me, and he ran a ministry, and he was being accused of the person that had the ministry before him of stealing the ministry. And one of his board members said, "Oh, you know, you ought to make good with him. You ought to be his friend and all." And he didn't feel that was right, and he asked my advice. I said, "Well, if someone was shooting at you and they still had the gun in their hand and it was loaded, would you think that being friends with that person would be a priority?" And of course, the answer is no. Your father, he shot at you. He still has bullets that he's shooting at you. And you would never, ever let somebody come into your home that's doing that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I told him that. And he kept telling me that. And I said, "Look, you're not going to live with me. You have damaged me beyond control or beyond belief. you have taken something that does not belong to you.
Right.
And I'm forever damaged because of that. So I told him point blank, you're not living with me, but that doesn't take care of the guilt that I feel inside with him being an amputee and not having a car, but, not having a house.
But look, that's why I'm saying this to you.
Yeah.
You don't have an obligation to a cruel man who has hurt you deeply and the wound is still there. If that man was the man that deserved to be living in your home, he would be saying things like this: honey, that is the most regretful thing I've ever done in my life, and I hope you can forgive me. And until you hear those words, you have no obligation. Sherry, you want to help us here? Because this obviously is just so painful to Jeanette.
I mean, those tears, Jeanette, have needed to come out for a long time. And so we're going to have you stay on the line once we transition to the next call, because we want to get you hooked into somebody right away. But okay. But this is the deal. That I can completely understand this pull you feel inside. I want to affirm you. I am so proud of you and how you used your voice and how you drew a line and how you said, I cannot do that. To me, those are real strengths in you. And it may be because now he's an amputee. It may be that you and your husband have to look at, you know, Salvation Army, or maybe how you might have to, you know, transition him into a place outside of being on the street. Because I imagine that's going to pull at you as well. You might be overwhelmed with guilt if you do nothing. So it's a complicated situation that a therapist can help you take steps in your area at resolving, so that you're not holding shame, but you're also not holding guilt. You're making good choices about what you can and cannot do.
Yeah, I waited for 45 years because I never said anything, because I wanted him to come to me and tell me.
I know.
But he never did, so it just blurted out.
I was proud of you.
Denied it, he minimized it.
I know.
And he finally admitted it, and I thought, he's just admitting it because he's up against it, and
yep,
he has nowhere to go, and I don't trust him, and I don't, but, you know, it's just that, you know, I'm in church, and I go to church and I love my church, but I just feel like it's way too deep.
It is.
To talk about.
Yeah, and so to have a boundary that says, I can't have you live with me, that's a clear boundary.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, because it's complicated, right, he is an amputee, it may be that all you all can do is help him get hooked into a Salvation Army or a place, NAMI, N-A-M-I, the National Association of Mental Illness. They may have something out there for you. You know, it might be looking at an organization that can kind of take the assistance from here, calling out and maybe getting some adult protective services in and ask them, you know, let them know and say, I don't know where somebody's going to go like this, but it can't be in my home.
Yeah.
You know, getting some assistance, but maybe not, definitely not in your home.
Yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this is the situation that he's put himself in. And at any time, he, like all of us, had the opportunity to be open, honest, heal. He hasn't. And I do like what Sherry is saying, that you look at some options, and so that you're really able to say to yourself, I helped the best I could in every way possible. But I'll tell you, it's just not an option for him to live in your home. And I'm so glad that you call. You know, the sixth, we in these programs we've done with you guys, I've tried to give these foundations of New Life, and the sixth one is helping people live forgiven and love graciously. And the whole forgiveness factor, you know, is that we be tenderhearted to each other, Ephesians 4:32, that we do whatever we can to be kind. But look, when somebody has never ever ask for forgiveness and then continues to hurt and compound, that is not something that you just say, that's okay, It's okay for you to be in denial, for you to continue to hurt me. You forgive them, but that doesn't mean you reconcile with them. That doesn't mean you usher them into your home. Living in forgiveness is giving grace, even in the midst of bitterness coming back at you, to free yourself of that person. It's never license for them to continue to hurt.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, it is so sad when somebody lives their whole life, they've been abusive, God offers grace, healing, and rather than come forward and say, I've got to make this right with the people around me, to hang on to that, and then a child confronts you with it, and then you minimize
it and say, no, dad's just cuddle. And you know what? I think that's what was so powerful for Jeanette, is she was 7 years old when her dad sexually abused her. Seven.
Yeah.
Little girl. And you know what? The fact that you, Steve, and you, Chris, were two men that gave her permission to say no, to have her dad come home. She may have called thinking that we were going to say, yes, go ahead, you need to be a Christian and do that. But the fact that two men for the first time protected her and drew a line and said, no, it's okay, you don't have him come home. I think that's why she kind of tearfully unraveled, because I think that was such a new feeling for her.
Well, if she had called another place, and if you're not really focused on the whole counsel of God, you're going to give some kind of superficial answer based on one verse or one concept. And so I'm glad she called us and we were able to help her.
Well, to give one verse or one concept or context, it is that we can't forget love always protects.
Yeah.
If we're going to live Christian love, we've got to protect, and we've got to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Speaking of innocent, Larry Sonnenberg. There he is. Right there.
It's a good thing you weren't drinking coffee right then. You might have seen it come out your nose.
Even though he doesn't have any, here he is right now.
Oh, well, Larry. Thank you, Steve.
Larry, we have been talking about our financial needs this whole month. So, here we are, and it's the 24th. We're coming toward the end of the month.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I want to talk about something that you and I talked about, that Ken Taylor, when he came out with the Living Bible,
right, the paraphrase.
Yeah. Jeremiah 6:14, you pointed out to me, it says you can't heal a wound by saying it's not there. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, we've been guilty that we have been pretending that the woundedness of our financial situation wasn't there, kind of naively, which sounds stupid after we've been here as long as we've been here, expecting that folks would just step forward when we mention it now and then or tell them we have a need. But we have to bring out to the open to our audience, the wound is there. The wound is a lot of payments that we still need to make that are old, that are overdue. And it also blends into another thought that I have, is that in the miracles of Jesus, any of those miracles that we read about, somebody took a step first. Mm-hmm. You know, the blind man had to wash the mud off his eyes. The lady reached out and touched the hem of his garment. The servants filled the jugs with water before they turned to wine. Men lowered their friend through the roof. I mean, somebody did something. Then the miracle proceeded from there.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Well, the miracle we're looking for here is our finances to get healthy like they're supposed to be, like we have had in the past, and we want them to be back there again. But that the first step we want to take is your giving. If you would make the step of giving and trusting that we are very good stewards of the support you give us, we have cut expenses to the bone, and that's what makes this hard. We can't just cut things and make this go away. The only way we're going to improve our situation is by increasing the revenue. And the most direct way that we know to do that is to seek your support. So if you can support us with that, miracles will happen. You know, when people with a need combine with people with resources, God does great things. And so if you would make a gift and you would make it to New Life today, we'd like to close this all out by the end of this month, this matching gift. We're getting close. So if you can do that, it's going to make a difference in people's lives. That's where the real difference is. It'll make a difference in our finances, yeah. But that's not the real issue. The real issue is, what happens if this radio show isn't here? Well, you know, what happens to this last caller you were talking to if you guys weren't here? She didn't get that counsel. She didn't get to hear from Steve and Chris and get that affirmation from males and your wise counsel, Sherry.
Well, and the thing is, we don't want to have to ask. We hate that. But I don't think people know how much it is for us to be on the air here. I don't think they realize the impact that's given when a person hears a different perspective, a different way of looking at things, that is a way of grace, not based on any preconceived hurt or pain that we're going through, an objective, truth-based opinion. If you can help us continue to do that, you become part of what we do. And every time somebody gets some insight, you start to rejoice because you are responsible for it. You're the one that provided the support that kept us on the air. And so I hope and pray that you could help us get out of this debt, get current, and stay current.
And the two ways I would just try to wrap this up is, one, if you can make a gift unlike one you've ever made before for New Life, it will go a long ways, and we'll have that doubled. But if you can join Club New Life, $30 or more a month, in addition to that extra gift, that means that our base of support will grow. We have targeted 110 new Club New Life members every month. We've exceeded that in March. We exceeded that in April. We announced this in March. And in May, we're running like we're going to exceed it again this month. But if we can keep doing that, the monthly giving grows to a point where it will reduce the number of times we're going to have to come to this mic and say we need a little help. So
okay,
thank you.
So the way you keep Larry out of the studio is to support this ministry. He won't have to come back. And the way you help us put the true truth, the redemptive truth, in the ears and the heart of people is to support us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Please call us, help us if you can. 1-800-NEWLIFE. FE. All right, let's go with, how about we talk with Ashley, Minneapolis, Minnesota, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, how you doing? What's going on?
Hi, good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 13-year-old daughter, and we are, I guess I would kind of say strict parent. We have very restricted internet access. We don't let her have a phone or anything like that. She did at one point when she was going for sports. What the problem is that we have found out now 3 times that she has chatted online with strangers. The last time that we found it, that she was chatting, it was explicit, mostly it was from the other person that was being explicit in the chat. And it just broke our hearts because we've put so much into her education. We sent her to private school, and we prayed with her in the other instances where this happened, and tried to correct it. And she just says that she feels so lonely, and we are just don't know what to do. My husband comes from a family where his family basically broke up because his dad was into pornography, and this just totally scares him so much because he's so
well. It should. It should definitely. Yeah. It would scare any parent that was responsible. Yeah.
Yeah, and we just don't know if we're being too protective. We don't know. We just don't know what to do. If she should go to counseling because she feels lonely. But then I don't want to bring her to the counselor, and then they put things into her head saying, not that they would put things in her head, but you know that she is depressed or she is anxious. Or,
hey, listen,
you know.
Listen. All right, I want to tell you something. I want to be really frank with you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and your husband are really confused about some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Just that you would have that thought that a counselor might put stuff in her head. Look at what's in her head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. So
yeah.
I think that. Well, let me just. I've got some thoughts for you. But I'll let Chris start us off and then Sherry on this, because I'm so glad you called, because guess what? You can turn this thing around. This is a great place to find out that she's got these thoughts and feelings and willing literally to put her life in danger, which is what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take this break and we'll come back. I don't think that a young girl, a teenager, realizes how powerful that chat session can be, how experienced those men are at manipulating an innocent person to show up someplace in person. That's the scary thing. You think, oh, no, this is just that other person saying explicit, whatever. It is a deadly alliance that must be stopped at all costs. We'll talk about that. When we come back, you're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-N-E-W-L-I-F-E, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to get some help.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Talking with Ashley, 13-year-old daughter is connecting with some sexually explicit chat men. All right. So, Chris, what do you think?
Okay, Ashley, first off, I want to affirm that you have taken drastic measures to cut off availability of this dangerous behavior. That is really important. But there's something that I'm hearing in your story that I think is incomplete and drastically incomplete. But I want to start with good news. The good news is that your daughter told you the problem. The problem is that she feels lonely. So we know what the solution is. The solution is connection, is people, is relationship. Now, she is coming up with her own solutions online, which are incredibly dangerous. But the response to that isn't necessarily more control. You can't control your daughter, or you can't control another human being and connect with them at the exact same time. It's fundamentally impossible. There's a decision that needs to be made, is that am I going to control her or am I going to connect with her? And again, I'm not saying that the boundaries need to be loosened. They don't. In fact, it's very important for connection for those boundaries to be in place. But what I want you to be able to do, Ashley, is to move into your daughter's life and to be able to ask her questions. You be a safe person and a safe place and a listening ear with compassion and empathy of what is going on in her life. Is she an only child?
No, we actually have a son as well. He's younger.
Okay.
And I do realize that we can't keep, I mean, unless she lives with us forever, we can't keep the internet away from her forever,
yeah.
You know, in the world we live in today. And, you know, I guess Matt and I do, you know, we blame ourselves a little bit because we both work outside the home. However, we try to be there at all times, but have an adult there. But it's, it's such a hard situation.
But Ashley, there's guilt and fear inside of you, anxiety inside of you that's blocking your connection with your daughter.
My life.
Yes. You know what it's like to be a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Right?
You know how
difficult that is when the body starts changing and weird things start happening that are outside of your control and the world gets bigger and gets scarier for a 13-year-old girl.
Right.
She needs you. She needs you to be there for her.
And so maybe even asking her, tell me about your loneliness. Right? And what is it about these conversations that you've had? What about those make you feel more connected? What makes you feel more seen than Daddy and I see you? What makes you feel more noticed than Dad and I notice you? Right? Mm-hmm. You're wondering what the alone is about. I have a colleague of mine that I adore, and she works a ton with teens. And I can't tell you, Ashley, how many more issues like this are coming in our doors. because we have a highly sexualized culture. And I want to say this to you, and I want to say this to every other parent who's listening, because we are going to have to get really good at having more intimate conversations with our kids about this stuff. Just not even a month ago, April 25th in California, that's where I live, there is, in Orange County right now, it says the school district forbids parents from opting kids out of LGBT lessons. You cannot not have your kid opted out of those sexual discussions that are happening in the schools. And right.
That's where I asked her, I said, where did you even, like, learn any of this? You know,
yeah.
I don't understand.
Yep.
She said that, well, of course, you know, on the bus and different things
yeah.
like that, we can't control everything. But even through the education that was given in a private school that she used to attend, which I thought was a little odd. But
it is. Yeah. But it's more commonplace. Kids these days, their sexuality is more like a vending machine, and they have to touch a button, and they can yeah. pick who they are and what they want to do with their sexuality. And we've got to engage our kids with talks.
And I just want to say this. Nobody has a 13-year-old daughter anymore. She's 16. She's, you know, when you say 13, you got to think 16 or 17 in this awareness stuff. And you really have to come in. And I got to tell you, I think it's ironic that you said, don't want to go to a therapist, might put something in her head, like maybe she's depressed and she's not. Well, think of what this connection, this sexually explicit connection, does to her mood. It alters it immediately. And I have to wonder if she is depressed. It is something that makes sense that a young woman raised in a very conservative home, why she would do something so bizarre. She's miserable, lonely, depressed, and when she gets that connection, that sexually explicit connection, that is an instant mood alteration. So I want you to hold on. I want to find a counselor for you guys. I think the three of you going, it could at least initiate the kind of conversation that you need, because she needs you. She needs you guys at your best. Now, I want to say one other thing. I said this to Sherry and Chris at the break. Kids aren't robots, and you can do everything in the world in the right way, and they still have a mind of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you don't want to miss is the power of connection. You have to connect. And boy, any kind of punishment focus on this versus, oh, we've got to get to the heart of her. We've got to yeah. win that heart, or win it back even. That's where I would really be focused.
And I want to make one more comment. She had asked about internet. And, you know, sometimes I think it's appropriate to cut internet off
yes.
for a while yep. while you've got a predator that has yep. access to your yep. children. And so I know that's weird, because we all think we need the internet. But we don't need the internet. We need our kids to be safe. And so that intervention would be appropriate while you're sorting all this out.
All right. Really glad she called. Let's pray for this girl, 13 years old. She needs our help. Well, if you need help, we got it for you. All you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Whether it's fear, whether it's a problem with a child, we want to help you. We've got counselors. We've got workshops. July 20th, if your marriage is not what you want it to be, it will be if you'll come to the July 20th workshop, Marriage Intimacy. It's in Washington, D.C. Why do I say that? 95% of the people that go get the result they're looking for. That's pretty powerful. If we knew some way to do it better, we would. And I'm excited for the results. So you call us. Let us help you with that. Every Man's Battle is a workshop we do every month. And if you're a man that has not conquered sexual integrity, let us help you. We've been doing it for a long, long time. But as Larry Sonnenberg said, we are in tremendous, tremendous need of your help and your support. And I'm just asking you, call us and say you want to be part of the giving family, the supportive giving family of New Life. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's the same number, whether you need help or you can help us. We really need your help here at the end of May. God bless you. I pray God blesses your life today, that you feel His presence, His grace, His mercy, and you're willing to surrender your life to Him.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.